morning tells us of a battle that the Israelites had against their enemies, the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites are sort of a recurring enemy that shows up in the Old Testament of the Israelites. And they weren't very friendly. In fact, we find out in Deuteronomy 25 that the attack in today's passage was, in fact, an ambush. Right, this attack happened while the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and as they were walking through the desert in a long line, the Amalekites sneaked up on those lagging behind and started attacking them. And so that's the context for the battle in the passage that we read today. Now, while the story is about a battle, what I want to focus on is not the battle specifically or the history, but I want to focus on the battle plan that the Israelites had that they used to overcome this enemy. So I want you to keep that picture of that battle in your mind. Right? Joshua is on the battlefield fighting the battle. Moses is up on the hill with his staff raised up, and Aaron and Hur are next to Moses supporting him. So those are the three roles to pay attention to in today's passage. Right? Joshua, Moses, and Aaron and Hur. Each of these roles were crucial to their battle that day. And what we can learn from this is that these roles are just as crucial for us today to fight the battles that God has set out for us. Each one of us has been assigned one of these roles. And we need to know the role that we've been assigned in order to serve God well. Each role has tasks, but God has also given us gifts to face the challenges that might arise when we do those tasks. And ultimately, we're going to see that it is, in fact, teamwork that makes the dream work. Cool. So, let's dive straight in. This is the role that Joshua represents. Let's read from the passage. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites." And so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. This is the first role. Joshua represents those who are called to the front lines to fight the physical battle for the kingdom of God. He represents those who serve God with their hands and feet. And accordingly, we sometimes call these people frontliners. It's quite easy to imagine people who fit this category. Right? Missionaries are the obvious example. Like how Joshua was sent out to the battle to fight with his hands and feet, missionaries are sent out into the world to share the gospel with their hands and feet. Like how Joshua was willing to obey and go, missionaries answer their call from God and are also willing to obey and go wherever he leads. And so a missionary is a clear example of someone on the front lines like Joshua. But it's not limited to missionaries, though. Right? The church impacts the world in other ways, too. And here are a few examples. Mercy Ships is a Christian organization that brings health care via hospital ships to some of the poorest countries in the world. And there are the doctors, nurses, and all kinds of health professionals on board are also called frontline warriors, are also frontline warriors for God, right? Because they are fighting practically against sickness and disease. Christian charities like World Vision fight the battle against poverty. And any kind of care or counseling or simply being there for someone is in some way doing what Joshua did, arming yourself for the battle against the suffering in this world as a result of sin. You sitting down to care for a friend at school or at work because something's happened in their life, you're taking part in this battle. Now, fighting a physical battle means that you risk physical dangers. Right? Missionaries face danger. For example, Mackenzie, who we support as a church, she was recently in a country in Central Asia for a mission project. where they couldn't tell people openly about their faith because the government there is hard set against anything to do with Christianity. She couldn't let anyone know which country she was in. She still hasn't let us know what country she was in, because if the government found out, then they would be on the lookout for her and her team. And this kind of persecution, if we look in the book of Acts, we see that it's been like that since the beginning, right? Peter, Paul, Barnabas, all the early apostles experienced persecution, arrest, being locked in prison, all kinds of physical consequences due to their role on the front lines. And you might have experienced too, when you shared something to someone about your faith. But God knows that it's tough, and so he has empowered us for the task. And this is what spiritual gifts are. When it comes to the physical battle, we'll see that these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given so that we are able to do these tasks. And we'll see later on, each role has gifts specifically for the tasks that they have. So gifts that come to mind when it comes to physical battle are the gift of evangelism, right, where you are supernaturally empowered to touch people's hearts with the message of the gospel. Or the gift of apostleship, people who are gifted at pioneering new ministries and initiatives. And the gift of leadership, people who can mobilize and coordinate effectively, like how Joshua coordinated the battle. And so this is the first role we see in this story, the role of the frontliner called to serve God with their hands and feet. And the question I want you to ponder is this the role that God has for you? While you think that over, let's look at the role that Moses represents. Moses said to Joshua, "Tomorrow I will stand up on the hill with the staff of God in my hands, and as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, and whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning." Now at first it looks like Moses isn't doing much, right? Joshua is down on the battlefield fighting with his life on the line, and Moses is just up, standing up on the hill. But don't underestimate how crucial Moses' role is. Moses represents those who are called to serve God as spiritual warriors. Spiritual warriors. These are the people who fight the same war as those on the battlefield below. Only this time, that battlefield is in the spiritual realm instead of the physical. The staff of God in his hands and having his hands raised high over the battlefield symbolizes how Moses leads the charge for the spiritual forces of good. And so those called to this role are crucial to the fight because whatever they do has a direct impact on the success of those fighting the physical battle. Right, and we see that because whenever Moses had his arms up, they were winning. And when Moses, his hands grew tired and fell down, they were losing. And this is what we call spiritual warfare. And I think a lot of us have heard this term before. The Bible tells us that there is more to reality than flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, for example, reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As much as there is a physical battle going on for those in the role of Joshua, there are those who have the role of Moses who are fighting with spiritual weapons on a battlefield that is in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm certain that most of us understand that there is a spiritual realm. And I'm certain that most of us understand that there are spiritual battles going on. Right? After all, God is spirit. Angels and demons exist. And so there must be spiritual battles. But having said that, I want to challenge you to reflect on this question. How real is that battle to you? How real is the reality of spiritual warfare to you? Here's what I mean. A.W. Tozer made this observation. He writes in his book, The Pursuit of God, "God and the spiritual world are real. We can reckon upon them with as much assurance as we can reckon upon the familiar world around us. In other words, we can be as sure of that as we can be of the physical world. Spiritual things are there, or should we say here, inviting our attention and challenging our trust. Our trouble is that we have established bad thought habits. We habitually think of the visible world as real and doubt the reality of any other. We don't deny the existence of the spiritual world, but we doubt that it is real in the accepted meaning of the word." What he's saying is that while many Christians believe in the existence of the spiritual world and the battles going on there, that belief is separated from the way that they behave or the things that they do. We believe that it is real, but we behave as if it doesn't really matter. For example, you might have heard the term prayer warrior before. Right? This is what we call people who commit to praying for missionaries when they're sent out, or for outreach events, or for the calling of a pastor, or for anything that we do as a church at all. The people who pray into those things. We call them warriors, partly because it sounds cool, but mainly because we understand that when we do an event or we send people out, that the fight is not just a fight against flesh and blood, but there are spiritual forces of evil that seek to undermine what we do for God. And if we're not careful and not aware of the role of those who fight the spiritual battle, then the physical battle is lost before we've even started. Right? Moses was crucial to that fight. And so it is with those in the role of the spiritual warrior. Worship is another way that we lead that battle against the evil spiritual forces. Because what is worship? Yes, it's praising God. Yes, it's nourishing our souls. But there's more. John Piper from Desiring God writes, "Singing to God isn't just a nice emotional trip to spice up a worship service. It's an attack against sin and Satan." Have you ever thought about that before? That worship is an attack against sin and Satan. That when you worship, you are pushing back the forces of evil and opening the way up for ministry to happen. There is a spiritual reality that we can't ignore. And just like those on the front lines fighting the physical battle, God has gifts for those tasked with fighting the spiritual fight. Gifts such as the gift of words and prophecy, right? People who are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, who can tell us what God is saying, and who can pray with insight. Into situations. The gift of discernment. People who are gifted at telling what is and isn't from God, making sure that we are staying on the right path. And the gift of faith. Right? People who are supernaturally empowered to expect God to move, to expect answer to prayer, to expect miracles, who inspire others to follow in faith. And so this is the second role that we see in the story. The role of the spiritual warrior, called to serve God with fervent prayer, worship, and faith. And again, I want you to ponder, is this the role that God has set out for you? And finally, let's take a look at the role of Aaron and Hur. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Joshua needed to win the battle. And for that to happen, Moses needed to stand firm in the spiritual fight. But spiritual battles are tiring, just like physical battles, especially if it's something you're not used to. Right. As an example, these past weeks I've picked up a few new sports, right? Bouldering and tennis. And both of these activate muscles that I don't usually use. And those muscles were sore for days afterwards. But even after getting used to it, right? You still get tired from physical activity. And in the same way, our spiritual muscles get tired when we engage in spiritual battles. For example, it's not unusual to feel more drained than usual after praying hard into a particular situation. And so whether you fight on the front lines or in the spiritual realm, you need backup. You need support. And Aaron and Hur represent those who are called to serve as supporters. Right, these are the people who are proactive, always at hand, ready to step in when they're needed. They have their eyes open, watching their brothers and sisters, offering support and encouragement to those who are weary from their fight. We see that in the story, right? When Moses grew tired, Aaron and Hur took the initiative to move a rock so that he could sit down. When his arms started to fail, they were there by his sides, so they could support him and hold him up. Again, don't underestimate how important these people are. Because it might seem like Joshua is doing all the hard work, and Moses too, if I've convinced you, while Aaron and Hur are just standing there. But notice how without them, the whole battle falls apart. Right? Without them, Moses grows exhausted. Moses can't keep his hands up. Joshua and the army get beaten back. So while it might seem like that this is the smallest role of them all, it's no less vital to the battle than any of the other roles. Right, consider the people who prepare breakfast for us on Sunday mornings. Now, this is a great example of the role that Aaron and Hur have. Right, every Sunday morning at 7:45, the worship team comes in to get ready for church. Every morning at 8, the prayer group starts praying. And both of these vital spiritual ministries empower the rest of the church to be frontline warriors when we gather now. Now, to be here by 7:45 means you're getting up at 7 or earlier on a Sunday morning. And the breakfast team who selflessly prepare such amazing breakfasts week after week are a perfect example of those called to be supporters like Aaron and Hur, whose behind-the-scenes care permeate through the whole church, supporting it and nourishing it so that we can each fight the battles that we're called to. If you're still not convinced, then consider the spiritual gifts, because unsurprisingly, there are spiritual gifts for people in this role. The gift of encouragement, right, those who can uplift and strengthen others in the spirit. The gift of helping or hospitality, people who are able to meet people's practical needs and are never more than a call or a text away. The gift of giving, people who can share God's love with others cheerfully and generously. And the gift of healing, right, those who can bring healing to others, physical, emotional, and spiritual. This is the role that Aaron and Hur represent, the role of the supporter, called to serve God by serving the body. Is this the role that God is calling you to? Like I said at the beginning, this story of how the Israelites did battle paints a picture of how we are to come together and work together as the body of Christ. Remember, when we trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we were baptized into the faith, we were baptized into one body, the body of Christ. And just as how a body has many parts that each play a different role, each of us has a unique role that God has called you to. No one else can fill that role, because that role is God's purpose for you. Today I've painted in broad brushstrokes the three types of roles that God has for us. But God has something specific planned for you. And as you head into the rest of your day, I want you to be thinking about these three questions. What is your role? Are you a physical warrior, or a spiritual warrior, or a supporter? What specifically might God be calling you to? Now, you might need time to think it through. You might need time to pray about it. But the important thing is you need to know. That role is part of God, is part of your God-given identity. It's who you really are. It's where you'll find joy and purpose and fulfillment. You need to know it so that you can be secure in it and who God has made you to be. So what is your role? Second, how are you training yourself for that role? When you're serving God, don't settle for the minimum. You need to be equipped for your role. There are two things you need for any kind of service. One is the practical skills, but two, spiritual maturity. And the key to both of those things is a desire to keep growing. The baseline for service is never really that high. Right? Church should be our training ground, not where we perform. Right? It's where we train, it's where we get better. So what's important is your desire to be growing in skill and your pursuit of spiritual depth. So how are you equipping yourself for your role? And finally, how do you value each role in the body? The body has no unimportant parts. The Bible specifically reminds us of this, that the parts we deem less honorable are the parts that we give special care to. Trust in the importance of teamwork. Don't look down on roles that you think are easier, because without them, the battle will be lost. If this is what God has called you to, then own it. Commit to it. Excel at it. Then the body will be working together the way that it's meant to. And so these are the three questions to be thinking about as you head out today. The Israelites won their battle because they understood their roles. They committed to their roles, and they worked together to win that fight. For us today, as the body of Christ, when we understand our roles, commit to our roles, and work together, then we too will be victorious in our undertakings as a church for the kingdom of God. Amen.